Good morning again. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
That was a very, very beautiful song and way to bring in the Sabbath, I believe, by saying, Happy Sabbath, how are you? If you don't know, you just commissioned yourselves to do that every Sabbath now. I'm going to bring it up at the board meeting tomorrow. We're going to vote that in. You have my vote for doing that every Sabbath. As I was sitting back there listening to all the praises and prayers, I thought, wow, you know, what a good time. I don't want to say a perfect time, a good time. Well, probably a perfect time to have a sermon such as this one. The title of my sermon is entitled, A Light in the Darkness. We get up every morning, we don't know how the day is going to unfold and don't know what's going to happen. God knows, because he knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, because he's there. He knows every waking moment, what we're going to do, what we're going to say, everything. The light and the darkness. We never know what's going to happen, what the day is going to bring. And I just was thinking, you know, the mattress incident, the son coming to church this morning, you know, for the first time. I think I heard that right. You know, Mike on your vacation. Just all kind of things. My wife talked about our home and what's going on there. And all those kind of things. And every day is kind of a struggle. We're dealing with things day in and day out. And sometimes we get kind of tired, discouraged, weary. A lot of situations kind of get us down and depressed and what have you. And as I was going through the sermon, I was going through the scriptures and everything, and I looked at a lot of the characters in the Bible, and three of them jumped out at me. Well, there was way more than three, but three of them I just wanted to kind of touch on this morning. Again, please bear with me. I'm coming down with something. Probably from all the weariness and stress I've been going through dealing with this new home that we moved into. Went outside the other night and to check the garage, and I seen two guys in my backyard. They seen me and don't know what they had in their hand. I didn't think about it either, but I was just trying to, I guess, protect my home. But they were running from my garage, I guess, trying to break in. It's the fourth incident now. Yikes. We made a police report and to no avail. So, but it's like my wife said, we don't know if it's a growing experience or what God's doing, but it's his purpose through it all. And there's still a light in the darkness through it all. And before I get started, if you don't mind, I would like to pray, and then we're going to get going and jump right into it. Father in heaven, excuse me. Father God, hide me behind thee, Lord. Let me not be seen or heard, Father God. Father God, for I'm being under attack by something and coming down with something, Lord. But nevertheless, Lord, I have work to do, work that I am pleased and willing to do, Lord. Work that I choose to do, Father God, which is follow you, Lord. Follow you till I cannot follow anymore. Father God, you have a message that you placed on my mind and my heart to give to your people and myself as well, Lord. There's a lesson in this for me. So, Father God, if you will, as it says in Isaiah, Lord, place Reach out your arm and place hot coals on my lips, Father God, so that I may speak your words, not mine. Lord, we lift you up and give you all the praise, the glory, and we love you. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon this church. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Like I said, we wake up and we never know how the day is going to unfold, what's going to happen. And each and every one of us seated here goes through something day in and day out until we lay our head down. And yet and still, we never know. I want to take a look at three characters in the Bible that also went through something. As I said, there was totally and absolutely more people in the Bible that all of them had struggles. Nevertheless, they all had one thing in common, though, which is Jesus Christ. Their Lord and Savior, my Lord and Savior, and it's my prayer that your Lord and Savior as well. Let's take a look at David. David, excuse me, he was one of the three persons that I looked at. David was troubled and he battled with despair and guilt. David was the youngest son of Jesse and was chosen by God to be anointed as king at an early age. But through his ups and downs, trials and tribulations, he had some faults, as we all do, because there's nothing, nobody's perfect. He lost not one but two sons. And in his guilt and his iniquities, he cried out to the Lord. And we see that in Psalms chapter 38, verse 4. I mean, through all he went through, and he was, I guess, just overwhelmed and got tired at some point, and was just like, man. You know, so Psalms 38 and 4, if I could have somebody please read that. Excuse me, I'm so sorry.
Psalm 38, verse 4?
Yes.
For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me.
He was overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. He couldn't take it anymore, as a lot of us and all of us probably get at times. And it's just like, ugh, when will it end? Regardless what the situation is, whether it's just life or work or whatever, we all come to that point in our times of life. It's just like, ugh, come on, when is it going to end? But then, and that was probably one of his darkest points in his life. But then we read in Psalms 42, 11, if somebody can pick that up for us.
Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise thee, the help of my countenance and my God.
In other words, he's saying to himself, why am I so sad? Why am I getting down on myself? God has my back. God is going to provide me. As long as I repent for what I'm doing and not continue to keep doing, but learning from my lessons and not continue to beat up on myself, God will make and provide a way for me. And this is a lesson I keep having to revisit and learn for myself. It's not as bad as I'm making it out to be. And then I looked at Job. This brother lost everything. And not only that, he also suffered with a physical illness. suffering with a physical illness. And here we find our brother Job also cried out to the Lord. Job 3, verse 11. If somebody could read that for us.
Why wasn't I born dead? Why didn't I die as I came from the womb?
This brother suffered so much to the point to where he just wanted to call it quits. I have been there in my lifetime. So just depressed and just, you know what? What's the point of me even being here? Lord, I don't even want to keep going. I don't even want to try. Just, why was I even born? What's the point? Don't nobody love me? Why am I here? Lord, come on, man. What kind of joke are you playing on me here? I have nothing. It's pointless. But then, and that was Job's dark moment. Title of my sermon is A Light in the Darkness. And Job 42, 10 through 17. If someone can grab those verses and take turns reading those. Somebody read two verses and somebody else will read two verses until we get through.
17?
Yes.
And after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and doubled his previous possessions.
Stop right there. Now, just remember, previously before that, Job had just lost everything, all his riches, his property, his livestock, even his children. He lost everything to the point he didn't even want to exist anymore and had physical illness. But right here, as we get ready to read, the Lord is doing something in Job's life. Somebody keep reading.
All his brothers, sisters, and former acquaintances came to him and dined with him in his house. They sympathized with him and comforted him concerning all the adversity the Lord had brought on him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold earring. So the Lord blessed the last part of Job's life with more than the first. He owned 14,000 sheep and goats, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He named his first daughter Jemima, his second Kiza, and his third Karen Hapuk. No woman as beautiful as Job's daughter could be found in the land, and their father granted them all an inheritance with their brothers. Job lived 140 years after this and saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. Then Job died old and full of days.
Doubled what he had because he was faithful to the Lord. Even though, yes, he struggled and had some darkness in his days, as we all do. He had some despair. He had some physical ailment. Nevertheless, he still kept his eyes, his mind, and his heart focused on the Lord through all he went through. Then we come to our brother Elijah. Elijah the prophet. Elijah the prophet struggled with discouragement. He was weary and he was tired. we all get there sometimes, don't we?
Amen.
We all get a little bit weary from running a good race. Because let's face it, that's what we're in there. We're running a good race. We get afraid sometimes. That's where Elijah was. We all get discouraged sometimes. You know, we let Satan creep in and whisper to us, you're not good enough. Nobody at the church wants to hear your sermon or wants you to do anything there. You're not going to do good. You're not going to be able to do what you want to do. Did you know discouragement is a sin and a vice from Satan? I'd like to read something from Ellen G. White, Counsels to the Church. She wrote, "A discouraged soul is a body of darkness, not only failing himself to receive the light of God, but shedding it away from others." Ooh. Satan loves to see the effect of the pictures of his triumphs, making human beings faithless and disheartened. Mm. When I read that, I said, whoa. Mm.
Right.
I said, whoa. I said, this is how I've been feeling for the last 2 months since we moved in this house. I've been feeling discouraged. I've been feeling weary. I've been feeling afraid. I haven't been wanting to get up and do anything. I've been wanting to leave the house. Thinking if I leave, somebody's going to get in here and take everything. It's not mine in the first place. If they take it, what can I do with it? Nothing.
Talk about it.
Nothing. Nothing at all. If I die right now, there's nothing I can do with it. Absolutely nothing. But our brother Elijah suffered through the same thing. He was discouraged. He was weary and afraid. And I believe this is where I am right now in my life. And in 1 Kings 19 and 4, if somebody can read that. And I just thought this was so awesome when the Lord showed me this. I wept.
But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's."
It is enough. I've had it. I'm done. I am tired of this. I'm tired of dealing with it. I'm tired of worrying about it. I'm tired of stressing over it. It is enough. It is enough. But then I read in 2 Kings, the whole chapter, we don't have to read the whole chapter, 2 Kings 2, where Elijah was called up to heaven in a whirlwind. And I said, wow, that is awesome. But before even that happened, the Lord showed me 1 Kings 19, 5 through 8, where because Elijah had been so faithful to the Lord, because Elijah had a long journey ahead of him, and we all seated here have a very long journey ahead of us. God is not done with either one of us seated here today, brothers and sisters. We have a very long journey ahead of us. I believe that with all my heart. And the Lord provided for Elijah, and I saw this, I just laughed. It said, I'm paraphrasing here, and it said that an angel touched Elijah and told him to arise and eat and drink. And as Elijah rose, he looked, and on the hot stones, it was a cake baked. The Lord baked his brother a cake. I said, what? The Lord's baking cakes? Not only did he bake him a cake, but he had him a jar of water to wash it down. I said, that is awesome. Not once, but twice. I said, here I am, me, worried, discouraged, afraid, and here, right here in plain view in Scripture, the Lord is telling me, why? Why are you worried? Why are you discouraged? Why are you struggling with these issues? And I'm telling you every single day, not only am I telling you, but I'm showing you, I got you. You have no reason to worry. You have no reason to fear. No reason to be afraid. No reason to be discouraged. You, Brother Rudy, have what I'm saying to you in John 1:5, a light in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome what I'm providing and giving you. There's no way. Some verses say the darkness cannot comprehend it. Brothers and sisters, right here today, I don't know what you may be going through, what you may be struggling with, what you may be dealing with. There is a light in the darkness for you, not just today, through your days. Continue to serve and look upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, brothers and sisters, and I guarantee you and I promise you, like it says in the hymnal, the strange things of the world will fade away.
Amen.
And that's what those struggles are. Satan is trying his best. I wanted to say something else there, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say it in church.
Go ahead now.
Do it, man.
It's damnness to take our eyes from Jesus. He is trying. He is trying. As long as we keep our eyes, our minds, and our hearts focused upon Jesus and his will, there is a light in the darkness.
Amen.
Amen.
For us.
Amen.
And that is the end of my sermon, brothers.
Amen. Thank you.
God bless y'all today, man. I love y'all so much.
I'm baking you a cake, bitch.
And thank you for dealing with me. You all want some cookies. And thank y'all for dealing with me through my, whatever this is I'm coming down with.
The flu.
You all punishment for what you want. Amen. The Lord is definitely my life. That's my prayer that he is yours. Teasing my wife, she's so sweet and I love her so much. She made me some tea, which is terrible, but it helped a little bit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for being the light that we need so very much, and not just our dark times, but in this dark world. For being the light of our feet and the lights of our minds and our hearts. Thank you for encouraging us, Father God, to be also lights. Lights to one another, Father God. Lord, we lift you up and we pray, Father God, that we stand out and step out and be bold and continue to allow you to be lights in our lives as we be lights in other lives, in others' lives, excuse me. Father, this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.